Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Leviticus. It's on page 125 in your pew Bibles, and we read Leviticus 18, verses 1 through 5. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt, where you lived. And you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan, to which I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You shall follow my rules and keep my statutes and walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. If a person does them, he shall live by them. I am the Lord." Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Colossians. It's on page 1259, and we read Colossians 1, beginning at verse 1. "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it does also among you. Since the day you heard of it, and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, page 1111 in your pew Bibles. And we read Luke 10, beginning at verse 25. "Behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.' But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers. who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him down on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, I will repay when I come back." Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text for today is based on your Old Testament reading as well as a passage from our gospel reading. Turning back to our Old Testament lesson for today, we read, "I am the Lord your God. You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt where you lived. And you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan to which I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You shall follow my rules and keep my statutes and walk in them." This is our text. I believe it is the fault of Walt Disney himself that I lost so many arguments with my parents. Yes, I'm sure it was Walt Disney. And a particular movie that his company produced was called, I believe, White Wilderness. It was one of those live-action animal movies that Disney often did years ago. And in it, they had a scene where there were these little creatures called lemmings. How many of you have seen this movie? Did your parents not take you to Disney movies when you were young? Shame on them. Well, anyway, there was this movie called White Wilderness. You'll have to rent it. And there's these creatures called lemmings. And in the movie, they are seen migrating in droves. And they come to an edge of a cliff. And they jump off of it and die. I am convinced my parents saw that movie. Well, in fact, they took me to it. But I believe your parents probably saw it too. Because when I was young, I would go to my parents occasionally and want to do something that all my friends were doing. And I knew it was something my parents didn't want me to do. But I would try to convince them, if you will, to justify my actions before them with the phrase, "But everybody else is doing it." And they would reply to me, "And so, if everybody was jumping off a cliff, would you jump off a cliff too?" How many of your parents used that argument with you? Yeah, they saw the movie. But when everybody else is doing something, be it in the land of Egypt, or in the land of Canaan, or here in these United States, it's easy to convince ourselves that it should be something we are doing as well. And based on the results of my quick survey a few moments ago, We've all been there, done that. Use what other people are doing to justify things that God would not want us to do. And perhaps we hadn't even thought of doing ourselves until everybody else was doing it. We don't like being outside of the crowd. It makes us feel uncomfortable. And it's not just in the failure to follow along that we find that discomfort. Sometimes the crowd turns on us. It makes fun of us for the way that we're living or acting or speaking. And more than that, sometimes they turn on us. Put us out of their midst. Don't let us participate. In these days, sometimes just for being a Christian, you can get dismissed from a job or get sued for not baking a cake. The world makes it uncomfortable for us to not be a part of it. And so we look for ways to justify ourselves. Though we know in our hearts what God would want us to do, and more importantly, we know from the Word of God itself what God would have us do. We seek out ways to justify another way of life. Which brings us to our gospel lesson for today. A man wanted to know what he had to do in order to achieve eternal life. But as so often our Lord did, rather than answering the question, he simply asked the man what he thought. He was a lawyer, which means he was schooled in the law. And back in that day, that wasn't simply governmental law. That was the law as revealed in Holy Scripture. The man answered to Jesus extraordinarily well. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. The Word of God was clear. And this man didn't have to struggle to figure it out. But here is the problem that he confronted and that we confront as well. While the law of God may be clear, we know that we don't always live up to it. If you had been standing before Jesus that day, and he had said to you, do this and you will live. Your heart would stand up in accusation saying, and you know you don't. There's times each and every day where at least in your heart you're not following God. And it's often in the things you do as well. You know how you should be treating your neighbor, your friends, those around you at work. Your fellow students. But there's times you don't treat them the way they should. Maybe you just woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Or maybe you're just having a bad day. Or maybe they haven't been good to you, so why should you be good back to them? And we find ways and reasons that we can justify what we're doing. But the accusing finger of the law keeps on pointing at us. And what do you do? Well, what the world always tries to do, you try to figure out some way you can rewrite the law. And he, seeking to justify himself, asked, "And who is my neighbor?" We always are trying to justify ourselves. And that's where that, "Oh, but everybody else is doing it," kind of thinking comes from. And all the other methods that we use each and every day of our lives, trying to justify before others and in particular before God, the things that we do that we know from his word and ultimately in our hearts that we shouldn't be doing. The greatest problem that we face is that in the end you cannot justify yourself. If we could, Jesus Christ and the cross would have been unnecessary. Why did God send Jesus into this world? It's simply this. We can't justify ourselves. There is no argument that we can produce that will make us right before God. And so God sent his son Jesus into this world to bear the burden of our sins for us, to die in our place. But more than that, in that word that he cries from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God the Father has to turn his back on his own son and make him suffer the pangs of hell itself so that in his punishment our redemption might be found. And then in his resurrection, the life that we lost might be restored unto us. No, you can't justify yourself. That's a fact. But in Christ Jesus, God has done that task for you. As I like to remind you again and again, you are already perfect. Not because you've made yourself so, but because God has made us so. And when we get that fact, it changes how we respond to the world. Be it Egypt or Canaan or the United States of America, your friends, your family, who are encouraging you or belittling you because you don't walk in your ways. When you realize you don't have to justify yourself anymore, you get the strength to stand up, to proudly declare what you are. Not because you've made yourself so good, but because God has given you his goodness. Because he has made you right. You've got nothing to prove. And you realize that in trying to go along with the world, you're just substituting another God in the true God's place. And the problem with that other God is that there's not just one of them, there's like 4 billion of them. And it's really tough to keep about 4 billion gods all happy at the same time when they don't even agree with each other. And when from week to week and month to month and year to year, they're always changing their mind. What was good last week isn't good this week. And what was bad last week is now good. If you live your life trying to justify yourself to the world, you'll never get there. Because the world is always changing. It's changing its rules and its statutes. What they do in Egypt isn't what they do in Canaan. It's not what they do here. We have but one God. And how He wants us to live, He's made clear to us in His Word. And if we live to please Him, we will never be disappointed. Because even in those times when we fail, our righteous God forgives. And while we can't make ourselves perfect, He already has. Let us determine in our lives not to try to justify ourselves anymore, but let Christ be your justification, your righteousness, and your life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.